With us now live, Ohio Congressman Dennis J. Kucinich from Ohio's 10th District. Congressman Kucinich, good morning.
Good morning. If they're looking for cover from me, they're looking in the wrong place, because when I spoke to President Assad, I insisted that he stop the violence, that he move forward with democratic reforms, and that it has to be more than words.
And Congressman Kucinich, how can you have influence on Bashar al-Assad? Because some people are going to say, here is the son of a butcher who killed 20,000 people in Hama and has actually surrounded that city with the tanks even today.
Well, I'm not the only member of Congress who's ever met with him, but this was the third and fourth meetings I had with him. And this time it wasn't an exchange of pleasantries. It was a very focused discussion on how President Assad should accept the democratic reforms, how there had to be a pullback of security forces, and the violence had to be stopped. There was extensive discussions about the direction that Syria could take, and he understood, in the conversation at least, he expressed it, that it was essential that that the regime become democratic, and that he had to start on that road. And that's when he started, and he started to talk about a dialogue, meeting with the opposition, pulling back security forces. In some cases, he pulled them back, and then the army moved forward. But this is a very volatile situation, which has implications not just for Syria, but for Lebanon and for Turkey, for Iraq, for Jordan, and for Israel. And so, as someone who's been to the region many times, I thought it was really important to impress on President Assad the importance of listening to those who are people of goodwill, who want democratic reforms, and that he should be encouraged to move in that direction with all due speed.
We want to continue our conversation now with Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio's 10th District. Kucinich recently returned from a fact-finding mission to Syria, where he spoke with, met with President Bashar al-Assad. Congressman, you were just talking about discussing with the Syria's president the end to violence. And on your website, you have a statement there saying diplomacy works. You say, I appealed to President Assad to remove his forces in the cities. He told me he would. Do you feel like you were lied to by President Bashar al-Assad?
No, this thing is in process. I mean, one moment he pulled the security forces back and there was a tremendous, show of opposition to the regime. And then, a day later, he brought security forces back. He did show evidence of a willingness to pull back security forces. He has come out in favor of open meetings and meeting with pro-democratic activists. He knows that he has to develop reforms. He removed the emergency laws. So it's not as if nothing was done, but frankly, it's not enough. There is a paradox here. You have a closed state that has been lacking in a democratic tradition, but it's not fundamentalist. And, there are people who, there are places where mosques and churches and a synagogue, a neighborhood that I was in Damascus, where they exist virtually side by side. And that tradition of religious expression, there's many people who believe that it could be lost if there was a transition to a more fundamentalist expression. And so, this is something that it's very difficult to discern unless you're there talking to people. There is, as I said then, and as a CNN reporter said the other day, there is support for the regime. And there is no idea anywhere of what would replace it. And if it ends up in a sectarian disintegration, it'll affect the whole region in a profoundly adverse way. So my intention in going there was to help avert escalating violence, to meet with pro-democracy activists and human rights advocates, and to find out if the government has any interest at all in reform. But again, words are insufficient. There has to be action, and it's an exceedingly complex, difficult situation when you have violence as a profound layer of this of the situation.
And Amnesty International says they have witness accounts of torture at the hands of the Syrian army, arbitrary detention. They say that there should be charges in the International Criminal Court. Do you think there will come a moment, or has the moment arrived, when the president needs to step down?
Well, that's a decision that the people of Syria are going to have to make. I met with Representative of Human Rights Watch and received their report, which focused on the violence in Deraa. And it's similar to some of the accounts that the Amnesty International report that was sent to the ICC articulates. The thing is to try to keep the violence from breaking Syria apart and from affecting Lebanon and outlying areas. The instability in the region is a real problem to begin with. The one thing that I found was noteworthy, though, is that a lot of the activity is taking place on the borders. The time that I spent in Damascus, except for some of the neighborhoods, which I didn't, and the outlying part of the city, which I did not visit, Damascus seemed pretty calm. And except that people I talked to at every level of society were very concerned about which direction their country might go in.
That's Ohio Congressman Dennis J. Kucinich, representing Ohio's 10th District. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Thank you.
Congressman met with President Bashar al-Assad recently in what he called a fact-finding mission. Also joining us now, Professor Joshua Landis, who's the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma and author of the blog Syria Comment. Professor, you heard what Dennis Kucinich had to say. Kucinich was criticized in Syria for saying that Bashar al-Assad is still beloved by some of the people, or still appreciated by some of the people in Syria. Which story is true? Is he a hated tyrant, or is there still people there that want him in office?
Well, I think both stories are true. This is a society that's deeply divided. Many Syrians are hoping that they can avoid war and find a negotiated way out of this. And it's important that that international leaders continue to carry out some kind of dialogue with the government. And Syria is a Noah's Ark. There's two of everything. There are Christians, there are Muslims, there are Shiites, there are a lot of different ethnic groups. This is not going to be an easy problem to solve. And we've seen this in Iraq. A new report just came out about Iraq saying that over 250,000 Iraquis were killed at the hands of Americans. And there are many more dying there every day. Syria does not want to become a battleground. So people are divided. There are many conservatives who don't want to go into the hands of the rebels and have a complete revolution. There are many others who are sick and tired of this regime and want to overthrow it. So Syria is sitting at the doorstep of a very difficult decision.
Wait, are you comparing what the U.S. Army and military calls collateral damage of Iraqi civilians as they tried to bring control into Iraq with the death of civilians in Syria?
I'm talking about people being killed. And I'm not sure, in which situation collateral damage occurred and how unavoidable it was. The point is that once you break a society like Syria, Iraq, Lebanon open, once the government collapses and you move towards civil war, the death, there are about 1,500 dead people in Syria today over the last 4 months of this turmoil. But the point is that once the government collapses and different forces in society begin to fight each other, the death rate can go screaming up. And today in Syria, the government is still very much an operating concern. The government has stayed unified. The military has stayed unified. No defections like Libya. There is no territory that's fallen out of government hands like Benghazi and Libya. You cannot say that the opposition is going to win in Syria. And America and American troops are certainly not going to move into Syria and conquer and overthrow this regime. So in that sense, we're faced with a government in Syria that's still quite strong today. And the notion that you're not going to have any dialogue seems to me a bit naive.
That's Professor Joshua Landis. He's the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma and author of the blog Syria Comment, talking about what's happening in Syria today with the Syrian army surrounding the city of Hama. There have been witness reports that dozens of people, more than a dozen at least, of opposition were killed when the Syrian army attacked Hama overnight. Thank you so much, Joshua.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.